Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, happy Friday. Hope you're okay, and thank you for downloading today's podcast on June 20th. Coming up today, we'll hear from Southern Water about how to check if water is safe to swim in, as many people are expected to head to the seaside this weekend. We'll also hear from the owners of Thanet's Only Baby Bank, who are appealing for help after they lost a lot of their stock in last week's storm. But first, taking a look at our top story today. A three-year-old girl has undergone surgery after being attacked by a dog outside a primary school in Raynham. Nicola's joined me now. She's got some more details. First of all, Nick, can you tell us when and where this happened?
Well, Kate, it happened in Mears Court Road in Raynham, which is actually quite close to Mears Court Primary School, and it was at around 3:30 on Tuesday afternoon. Rowan Skinley was walking his three children down the road when three-year-old Bunny was suddenly attacked. He's told Kent Online the path is quite narrow, and a woman was walking her dog along the road when it suddenly lunged for Bunny's arm and pulled her to the floor. Now, they managed to pull the dog away, but that caused her further injury.
And so just how bad were Bunny's injuries?
Well, she was taken straight to Medway Maritime Hospital, where she was cleaned up, and then she was sent to St Thomas's in Westminster early the next morning. She had to have several x-rays to make sure the puncture hadn't hit her bone, and then she underwent plastic surgery. Dad Rowan says she's doing okay now, but will have to go back to hospital within a week or so for a checkup and to see whether she'll need any more work done. He's also said it's left her quite shaken, as you can probably expect, and she keeps talking about how scared she is of the dog.
And what's happened to the dog? Do we know anything about it?
Well, Rowan says the dog was a small sandy-coloured cockapoo. He says people who saw the attack came over to help, but the owner just disappeared, leaving without any details or anything. Kent Online spoke to Kent Police, who confirmed an investigation is ongoing. Now, anyone with information to help with those inquiries, including CCTV or doorbell footage, should contact police on 01634 792209. That's 792209. And you can quote the reference number 46/102876/25.
Thanks, Nicola. It's worth noting as well, Kent Police figures show just 3% of recorded offences where a dog has caused injury resulted in a person being charged.
Kent Online News.
An investigation is underway into the prison death of a Kent man who sexually attacked a woman and held her at gunpoint. Richard Scaife carried out the offences in a Folkestone flat in 2021 and was sentenced to 15 years in prison in 2022. The 50-year-old from Camden Crescent in Dover died at HMP Isle of Wight in May. A teenager has been arrested following reports of someone with a knife in a village near Faversham. Police were called to Sandbanks Land in Graveney on Wednesday evening. It's understood a man was threatened and another was assaulted. A 19-year-old remains in custody. One man's been arrested after two drivers clashed in Eastchurch. The drivers of a black Audi TT and a white transit van were involved in the argument on a roundabout connecting Lower Road and Rowlett's Way. One driver threatened the other. He's been released on bail while inquiries continue. Head to Kent Online to see pictures of a man police are hunting following an assault in Dartford. The victim was waiting at a bus stop in Tennyson Road when he was reportedly attacked. The violence continued as the pair moved onto a bus. It happened on the morning of February 4th. It's hoped someone might recognise the suspect from the picture.
Kent Online News.
There's been backlash over a decision by bosses at East Kent Hospitals Trust to hike parking charges. Patients and staff will pay 10% more to park at the QEQM in Margate and the William Harvey in Ashford from July 1st. Critics have accused them of trying to make money out of the most vulnerable. The trust say it's their first increase in 7 years. Meanwhile, more jobs could be at risk at another hospital trust in the county. Bosses at East Kent are looking to cut 1% of their workforce as part of efforts to save £45 million. It comes after the Maidstone and Tunbridge Wells NHS Trust told staff about possible redundancies earlier this week. The cost of catching a taxi in Tunbridge and Morling is set to rise. The initial flag fee for hailing a taxi will go from £4 to £5. The distance you can travel per 20p will also decrease. The changes come after a petition from cabbies called for an increase, saying rates have remained the same for the last 3 years. A Kent charity has been chosen to be part of the £14 billion project to build the new Sizewell C nuclear power station. The Royal British Legion Industries will be making all the road signs that will be used on the growing construction site in Suffolk. Their factory in Aylesford aims to give employment opportunities to armed forces veterans. A youth centre in Ashford will close at the end of the month due to a lack of funding. Skateside has been giving skateboarding and biking lessons from their hub next to the Stour Centre since 2003. The free service also supports teens with advice on housing and careers. KCC cut funding to the outreach program in 2018.
Kent Online News.
An amber heat health alert remains in force across Kent. Yesterday was officially the hottest day of the year so far, and today could be even warmer. There are concerns about extra pressure it could put on NHS services. Now, if you are heading to a Kent beach in the hot weather this weekend, we're being told to check if the sea is safe to swim in. Southern Water are putting details online of their storm overflows and if they've been active. They're used to prevent homes from flooding in extreme weather, but can cause pollution in our waterways. Luke Hittner is from the company. He's been chatting to Nicola.
The storm overflow is essentially a safety valve that we've got in our network. So they operate by releasing effluent into the sea or rivers, but they're designed so that they don't back up and flood businesses and housing within our customers' homes, basically. So they're mechanisms to protect our customers from flooding.
Now, we actually saw them in action last weekend or Friday into Saturday, because that huge storm in Dover and that actually resulted in no swim warnings on the beaches in the Thanet area. So just tell us what will happen if there is something like that and these storm flows are used. Why does it impact the beaches?
It combines sewage and rainwater. So it's a combination of the two. Obviously, sewage can contain bacteria, which can be potentially harmful to people swimming. So Rivers and Seas Watch is there to basically predict that impact from that effluent onto the Raven Water and inform users of where they can go.
And tell us a bit about this website. What does it look like? Is it quite easy to use? Do we literally zoom into a beach that we're planning to go to and it tells you what the conditions are like?
Absolutely, yeah. So when you access the website, you can search for a specific location that you're interested in, an outfall or a bathing site, or use your location services. So where you're currently sat. So if you're on your mobile phone, for example, you can hit that button and it'll take you where your location is. And it's basically a map of our whole region. It has all of our storm overflows on there, as well as all of our bathing sites. So you can visually see what's happening in the region and make informed choices.
Obviously, we don't want people's homes flooding, but we also don't want the sewage in our rivers and seas. What can be done about that?
Yeah, so we've got £1.5 billion of investment to look at the whole of the infrastructure that we've got here and make improvements to reduce the amount of storm overflows that occur. So that's a long period project. Work is already underway in Margate, for example, amongst other places in Kent. So we've put a lot of effort into the reduction. But whilst that happens, I think it's really important that we're just transparent about the issue as it is right now. So that's why we have the Rivers and Seas Watch service, just to give that transparency and information that people need.
And if it says don't go into the water, I mean, is that you really shouldn't go in there because you could get poorly? Is it just guidance? You know, how seriously do we need to take those warnings?
We're very cautious in our approach because we think that's the right way to be. So we alert people when there's been a potential impact. It doesn't necessarily mean that if you did go into the water that you're going to get ill or anything like that. It just means that there is a potential risk, and that's the approach that we take there. So I wouldn't be super alarmed on a personal level. I still love enjoying the water myself, but it's there to make informed decisions, basically. For example, if there's two bathing sites that you want to go to, and one's red and one's green, a user might choose to go to the green one instead of the red one as a precaution.
Rivers and Sea Watch is on their website. And while we're talking about Kent's wild weather, we've been speaking to the founder of Thanet's only baby bank, which has been left devastated after their workplace and warehouse were severely flooded in last week's storm. Mama to Mama provides care packages to pregnant women and families with young children. I've been speaking to Jane Furness, who's the founder of Mama to Mama, and Hayley Corker, who's their chair of trustees.
Saturday morning, one of our volunteers called to say they think we should come to the warehouse. So we came about, I think it was about 9 a.m. in my pyjamas. And when we got to the front of the warehouse, there was mud coming out of the front of the warehouse, and when we opened the door, the entire ground floor was flooded. So luckily, nothing on the top floor has been damaged. It's at ground level, so all of our clothes are absolutely fine. But all the products that we had on the ground floor have now been condemned. We do have racking, so lots of items were saved. But we're currently running a bed poverty campaign, and we've had a flurry of donations of cots. They've all been condemned, and high chairs, and then products. Yeah, so basically everything that was on the floor, which is devastating.
And because you're dealing with like newborns, you can't you have to be careful in terms of like the equipment that you kind of give to them, because obviously you have to bear in mind their safety. So you could almost be like, oh, you know, it looks okay, but you just have to be so careful with like newborns sleeping and, you know, things that could endanger them really.
And what sort of knock-on effect is this going to have for the people that rely on your services? Obviously, if stuff's been condemned, that's stuff that can't go out to families that need it.
Exactly. So we've got a list of donations that were ready to go out. They're the donations that have been destroyed. So the charity is on hold this week while we put everything back together. So we've deep cleaned that's all ready. But we now just have to wait for donations. And the cots and the beds are the hardest things to receive as donations because they're items that last a long time. So families hold on to them. So there's been a decline in those donations already. So we're hoping that some brands maybe get in touch and can donate a bulk of, you know, maybe 10 cots or something like that. And that would just mean we can get those families supported. We have families at the moment in temporary accommodation who their children are sleeping in travel cots, so they need the beds.
It's so horrible, isn't it, to think about a tiny little bubba sleeping in, you know, not having a permanent bed of their own. It's really devastating. And I know that you run on donations, but is there a financial figure? Is this costing you money? Are you at a loss here?
Yeah, so we've worked out it's a £10,000 loss of the equipment that's been condemned. So that's all been taken away. So the company has been in, looked at all the items, condemned them. So we've lost prams, cots, products, high chairs, and as a value that, yeah, that's looking at £10,000. So it's a big loss, and it's more the time. It's months and months of time of sourcing those items, having them deep cleaned. So our policy is every item is a beautiful gift. So we steam clean prams. It doesn't go out in any kind of dirty. Everything's rebuilt, put back together. So it's the time plus the financial impact that it's had on the charity. So it's just going to take us months to get back to where we were. And families are just unfortunately going to be suffering because they're the ones that are going to be waiting for the items.
You can help by donating any baby items you still might have in your house. In particular, they're looking for big items like cots, prams, and high chairs.
Kent Online News.
The founder of a Medway baby loss charity has spoken about being diagnosed with breast cancer. Joe Ward set up Abigail's Footsteps with husband David after their daughter was born sleeping in 2009. The 45-year-old's been talking to Nicola about finding her lump.
Easter Saturday, I found a lump. Every person's worst nightmare. Thought hopefully it's just, you know, nothing to worry about, but got it checked and I have been diagnosed with breast cancer. I'm now 4 weeks post surgery. Still a long way to go in the journey, waiting for some results to come back to determine whether I'll be needing chemo as well as radiotherapy. So life has been tough. The past few weeks.
You obviously got it checked incredibly quickly. Were you always very aware? Do you do what all women are told to do to check regularly?
Yeah, definitely. And the lump was actually quite large. So I was cross with myself, thinking, you know, why haven't I found this? But you know, I found it and I caught it early, and it hadn't spread to my lymph nodes, which was fantastic news. You know, you do sort of look for the positives in such a sad and upsetting situation. So, you know, you have to take the positives from that. But yeah, if I'd left it, you know, it could have been years, it would have grown, continued to grow and spread. So I am lucky that we have caught it this early.
And I think everyone just thinks, oh, it won't happen to me. It would always be somebody else or someone I know or a friend or whatever. Did you feel like that, or were you always quite cautious, how did you view the whole thing?
That very much wants to kind of change that narrative of it won't happen to me, because I was like that, or you hear someone else has got cancer and you're really sorry for them and everything else, but you never imagine that it's gonna happen to you. And it's life changing. It really has made you change the sort of the way your outlook on life, just everything. So it's very much a case of, yeah, it could happen to you. So don't just think it won't.
And of course, there's been a bigger campaign to lower the age of when women have mammograms, because you're too young to be in the system to regularly have a mammogram. Do you think it should be brought down?
100%. Far too many young women are being diagnosed. And again, if they think it's not going to happen to them, they'll leave it. They won't get checked, and then they could wait 10 years to get the mammogram, and then the cancer has spread, the cancer has grown. It should be a woman's right when she chooses to have a mammogram. I know they sort of look into family history and everything else, but the statistics show that too many women are getting cancer earlier on in life. So just because it's always been that age, it needs to be looked at and changed.
Now, Jo, as you mentioned, you're only 4 weeks post-surgery, but bless you are an incredible woman. We know that already. And you're going to be doing a Race for Life event this weekend. Tell us all about it. Where are you going to be?
So I just wanted to sort of share, our situation, so others may sort of look at, cancer in a different light. So I decided, along with friends and my sister, we're going to be doing the 5K Race for Life on Sunday from Herne Bay. It's going to be challenging in this heat, but we've already raised a significant amount of money. So every step on Sunday will be for everyone else that is going through cancer of some form.
The family of a Medway woman stranded at a French care home have launched a campaign to try to bring her home. 77-year-old Pat Addick has advanced dementia and went into the home when her husband and full-time carer died suddenly last year. They need to raise £8,000 in order to get her settled in Raynham.
Kent Online News.
Kent winemaker Chapel Down have unveiled a new vineyard. It's called Buckwell Vineyard. It was planted on 119 acres of land near the village of Wye in Ashford last year. Their first harvest from the site is expected in autumn 2027. The story of Rochester's pioneering aviation history is going to be told at an exhibition at the Cathedral. They've received funding to explore the role the Short brothers played in aircraft manufacturing. They're known for building the float plane on the Esplanade in 1937. The exhibition will run through August. A student from a Kent school has won one of the top prizes at a nationwide competition for young engineers, scientists and technologists. Alice Morrish is in year 10 at Invicta Grammar School. She's been crowned UK Young Scientist of the Year for her project Quantum Karate, which explores the physics behind the sport. Three other pupils from the same school also walked away with prizes for their work with solar power, AI and tech that turns light into electricity. Scotney Castle has welcomed four new additions to its herd of cattle. Lance the Longhorn and three other Longhorn crossbreeds have been introduced to help naturally manage the landscape around the castle grounds. Visitors will be able to see them, but are advised to keep a safe distance while they settle into their new home.
Kent Online Sports.
Cricket first, and Kent's Zach Crawley is due to open the batting for England when they take on India in the opening test at Headingley today. The five-match series is being seen as the ideal build-up to the Ashes. Meanwhile, Kent are back in T20 blast action tonight. The Spitfires are taking on Essex in Chelmsford after a defeat to Gloucestershire on Wednesday night. And taking a quick look at rugby, Maidstone's Alex Mitchell and Ben Earl from Sevenoaks will line up for England as they take on Argentina in Dublin tonight. It's one of six warm-up games the Lions will play ahead of the three-match test against Australia next month. That's all from us today and for the week. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Kate Faulkner, all one word, at the checkout, you can get £30 off the price of an annual subscription. And also, don't forget, you can check out the latest review from The Secret Drinker. This week, he's been out and about in Paddock Wood.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.